الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we're discussing the conditions of the Shahada, and we have seen that the people of knowledge have numbered them with a number. Can you remind us of that number? Seven. The numbers are seven. There are seven conditions. Who can name them? What's the first one? Al-ilm. Al-ilm limada? Ha, al-ilmu bimanaha. Nafyan wa ithbatan. Naam? You have to know the meaning. What it negates and what it affirms. You have to know what the meaning, what it negates and what it affirms. Understand? The second? Al-yaqeen. That knowledge, it must be certain. There can be no doubt about that whatsoever. That there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah alone with no partners. There must be no doubt. And the third one? Al-qabool. To accept what it means and requires and necessitates. And the fourth one? Al-inqiyad. To comply to that. Yani an application by upholding the commandments and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. The fifth one? As-sidq. As-sidq. To be truthful, when he must be truthful with Allah and that. Naam. And sixth, al-ikhlas, to have certainty, to be sincere, and to state that statement for the sake of Allah alone. And the seventh, al-mahabba, when he must love that statement. He must love that statement. The author, what is his name? Hafiz al-Hakami, rahimahullah ta'ala. When did he die? 1377, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has some poetry. We had gathered these conditions and some beneficial lines, and also mentioning some important points with regards to them. Who can mention them for us? Naam. Would be shurutin.
Shurutin sab'at.
Al-wahi.
فإنه لم ينتفع قائلها بالنطق إلا حجم استثنها العلم واليقين والقبول والانقياد بدل ما أقول والصدق والإخلاص والمحل وفقه الله المحب.
آمين. أحسنت. اللهم بارك. اللهم بارك. So we've heard these lines of poetry over and over. A number of us, alhamdulillah, they have memorized them. وبشروط سبعة قد قيدت. وبشروط سبعة قد قيدت. يعني قيدت لا إله إلا الله هذه الكلمة. And with seven conditions, this statement restricted to these seven conditions, meaning that the benefit of the statement. What does that mean? That there's seven requirements and conditions before a person benefits. وبشروط سبعة قد قيدت وفي نصوص الوحي حقا وردت. And in the text of the revelation, in truth, they have come, these seven conditions. Meaning this is not something that the people of knowledge made up. Rather, this is found in the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, like the rest of the conditions of the affairs related to the religion. واضح؟ وفي نصوص الوحي حقا وردت. In the wahi, what does that mean? In the Quran والسنة. In the Quran والسنة. فإنه لم ينتفع قائلها بالنطق إلا حيث يستكملها. For indeed, the one who pronounces that statement will never benefit until he brings all of these conditions. Until he brings all of these conditions. We understand this. We understand this. So it must be pronounced, right? If a person is able to speak, he must pronounce it. And that pronunciation will not benefit him until he brings these conditions, requirements, and great rights. We understand that. Then these conditions or rights, they have a fundamental base. And then they have a completion or perfection of that that one must strive to reach in application. Understand? So a person, he can have the shahada and it can be heavy if he fulfills the rights entirely and completely. And it will be heavy for him in his skill. And another can have the shahada and be negligent in fulfilling some of those rights, although he has fulfilled the minimum, the basic minimum requirements. So he has the shahada, but the shahada has weakness or deficiency because of a weakness and deficiency of some of these affairs here. So a person, he can be in the fold of Islam and he can establish the rights in general, but then after that there are obligatory requirements for him to fulfill in order for that religion to be strong, sound, and good. So this was some of the benefits that have preceded. Al-ilmu wal-yaqinu wal-qawulu wal-inqiyadu fadri ma'akulu wal-sidhu wal-ikhlasu wal-mahabba wa-faqaqallahum lima'ahabba. Some of the people of knowledge, they have added an eighth condition. Who knows about that? Some of the people of knowledge, they've added an eighth condition. No? Al-kufru bil-taghut. They add the eighth condition, al-kufru bil-taghut. I think this is the one you memorized. Had. ما شاء الله اللهم بارك علم يقين وإخلاص وصدقك مع محبة وقيادة وقبول الله وزيد ثمنها الكفران منك بما سوى الإله من الأشياء قد أليها. So here it's mentioned علم يقين إخلاص وصدقك مع محبة وانقياد وقبول لها وزيد ثامنها هذا الشاهد وزيد ثامنها الكفران منك بما سوى الإله من الأشياء قد أليها. And the eighth one has been added, and the eighth one has been added, and that you disbelieve in all of the false gods that have been deified besides the true God Allah. And meaning that the eighth condition here, some of the people of knowledge have mentioned, is to disbelieve in the Tawud, is to disbelieve in the Tawud, meaning to disbelieve in everything that's been worshipped besides, and everything that is worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal. What does that mean, to disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal? To believe that they're not worthy of worship, and that they are worshipped in falsehood. To believe that those things that are worshipped besides Allah in any manner or any aspect, no matter what they be, no matter what they may be, and no matter how that worship occurs, those things are not worthy of worship. Those things are not worthy of worship. And that worship is falsehood. So some of the people of knowledge have added this as an eighth condition. But Allah knows best what is correct is that it's not actually an eighth condition. Rather, this is part of the first condition. The first condition, what was it? Al-ilmu bima'naha nafyan wa ithbatan, to know the meaning of it and what it with regards to what it negates and what it affirms. So the aspect of negation is the issue of al-kufran bil-tawud, al-kufr bil-tawud. Al-kufr bil-tawud, this is the aspect of negation. This is what it means when you say la ilaha, la ma'buda bihaqin, illallah. This is the requirement here. So this is actually shatru al-shahada, la shartu al-shahada. لأن الشهادة لها شطران. It has two parts. ها الشطر الأول في النفي والشطر الثاني في الإثبات. It has two parts. So the people of knowledge, they call those parts, those two parts, ماذا؟ أركان. They call them ركن. الركنان ركنا التوحيد النفي والإثبات. So then الكفر بالطاغوت is a ركن في معنى الشهادة وليس شرطاً. Whenever we speak about disbelieving in the Tawud, we talk about that. Whenever we explain and clarify the meaning of La ilaha, La ma'buda, bihaqin illallah, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, that's the negation. وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ, that's the affirmation. So this is actually part of the meaning of the Shahada. This is one of the pillars, to disbelieve in the Tawud. Any meaning to believe that anything that's worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal is worshipped in falsehood and not worthy of worship. So it's not actually a condition, rather it's found there. It's found there in the meaning. In the meaning, لا معبود بحقن إلا الله. So we've seen that meaning, the proper meaning is that you affirm the worship for Allah alone, and that you negate the right of worship from everything besides Allah and declare it to be falsehood and not worthy, and you free yourself from that. And that's الكفر بالطاغوت. And that is الكفر بالطاغوت. فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى. لقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن يعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. This is the shahada. This is the meaning of the Shahada. And يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, worship Allah alone. وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ, to avoid and stay away from the طَاغُوتَ. So this is the negation. So this is the meaning of the Shahada. This is not an individual condition. This issue here is from the meaning. This is one of the pillars, to disbelieve in the طَاغُوتَ. And the other pillar is to believe in Allah. To disbelieve in the طَاغُوتَ, meaning to believe that everything that's worshipped besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship. And to believe in Allah means to believe that Allah alone is worthy of worship. Is worthy of worship. This is the meaning that we spend all of those classes, alhamdulillah, discussing. So therefore, it's considered from here. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Possibly some of the people of knowledge, they will mention it as an eighth condition to emphasize this affair and to emphasize the importance of this affair. There must be al kufr bil taghut. But this is understood in the meaning. This is understood in the meaning, and Allah knows best. So we completed the seven conditions in our previous class, alhamdulillah, briefly, and some of the evidences with regards to that. And the author, again, he only sufficed with one or two evidences from the book and the sunnah, and yet from each, and the likes. And then he followed these conditions up, the seventh condition, which was al-mahabba, which means love. You must love this kalima. You must love this kalima, meaning that you love Allah, and you prefer the love of Allah over the love of everything else. You love Allah more than everything else, and you love for the sake of Allah. And at the head of that, you love the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, more than you love anything in creation, for the sake of Allah. Check by the reins of the legislation, not by desires and whims. Not by desires and whims. And then you love for the sake of Allah. Likewise, that which Allah loves from actions, statements, and deeds. And likewise, from the people. And the times and places, you love what Allah loves, and you love that for His sake, Subhanahu wa Taala, Subhanahu wa Taala, and also you dislike what Allah He dislikes, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Again, check with the reins of the legislation, and you base your allegiance upon that. You base your allegiance upon that, and this requires for a person to detest to ever leave the Shahada, to ever leave the religion, or to turn on his heels in disbelief. Even it will carry him to hate and dislike sins, innovations, sins, actions of disobedience. He would dislike them likewise. He would dislike them likewise, even from his own self. Whenever he falls into sin, he would dislike that. And it will make him feel bad. يسوء السيئة تسوء a mu'min, makes him feel bad. That's why he hastens to repent, because he realizes the great favor of Allah, the majesty and command and authority of Allah, the power of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his great favors and blessings. And he feels bad, and he has remorse for violating the rights of his Lord. And he dislikes that. He dislikes that, but he repents to Allah azza wa jal. But he repents to Allah azza wa jal. This is the favor of Allah. This is the favor of Allah, to be granted the Shahada, the ability to state this statement in this manner, and to live upon this statement in this manner, and to die upon this statement in this manner, with these conditions established. Again, to emphasize, these conditions, we're learning them, alhamdulillah, and this is from the beneficial knowledge, especially whenever it's coupled with these evidences and the likes like this. But what is intended from this knowledge is, it must be applied. This knowledge, it must be applied. So just like in Salah, for example, it's very possible that there is a righteous Muslim. Maybe he's a layman, but he's righteous. He's a devout worshiper, but he's not a scholar or a student of knowledge. His prayer is precise. He learned how to pray according to the Sunnah, and he prays for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you ask him about the conditions of Salah, maybe he will stumble, maybe he knows a couple and the likes like this, but he doesn't memorize them in the manner of a student or a scholar. But his prayer is in accordance to the legislation, because he learned how to pray properly. You understand this? Similarly like that, the Muslim with the Shahada is the same way. Maybe he doesn't know these conditions. Maybe he's not aware of these affairs. He can't number them, so on and so forth. But he has established them in his life, because he learned from Al-Islam these affairs, that he must be sincere. He must be truthful. He must follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He must obey Allah. He must fight his soul in the obedience of Allah. So he does that, alhamdulillah. So his shahada is good. His shahada is strong. Maybe even stronger and heavier with Allah than some of those students who memorize these affairs precisely, yet they're negligent in upholding the rights. So this is an important point to understand. This is an important point to understand. After this, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he follows this up with a question. And it's not from the conditions, but it's related here. And it's based upon this affair. So he says, سؤال ما دليل الموالات لله والمعادات لأجله. What is the evidence for having an allegiance to Allah and enmity for his sake? An enmity for his sake. Al-muwalat wal-mu'adat. These are opposites. Al-muwalat wal-mu'adat. It's also known as al-wala wal-bara. Al-wala wal-bara. So al-muwalat means to have an allegiance. And the origin of the word, it means to be close. It means to be close and to have help and support. And it has the meaning of love. The wali is the one who's close to you and the one who helps and supports you. And he's the one who loves you. And he's the one who loves you. So al-muwalat, it has this meaning. It has this meaning. Al-wala, it has the meaning of love and allegiance. And it has the meaning of nearness and help, aid, and support. Aid and support. And the opposite of that is al-mu'adat, enmity and hatred and distance. The one that you love, you see him, you bring him close. The one that you hate, you see him, you go away. You don't want to see him or talk to him. The one that you love, you have an allegiance with, you see him, you can't wait to talk to him. You smile and speak with him. And you're happy and comfortable in his company. The one that you don't like is the opposite. You don't want to see him. You see him, oh, man, you go the other way. I don't even want to talk to this person. So you have these affairs here. This must be for the sake of Allah. Al-muwalatu wal-mu'adat. Lillah, ma dalilu dhalika. What's the evidence for the allegiance to Allah and the enmity for his sake? Al-jawab. Qala Allahu azza wa jal. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. La ta'takhidu al-yahuda wal-nasara awliya'a. Ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. So the author says the evidence here in response is the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, O you who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians as awliya, and as friends, protectors, and helpers. They are but awliya, any friends, protectors, and helpers, guardians of one another. And if any amongst you takes them as awliya, then surely he is one of them. Until the end of it, until his statement, verily, your wali, your protector and helper is none other than Allah, his messenger and the believers. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, the statement of Allah, the Most High, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا أَبَاءَكُمْ وَإِخْوَانَكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ إِنْ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْكُفْرَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. Al-Ayatain, the author says, and O you who believe, the statement of Allah, O you who believe, do not take for awliya, supporters and protectors from your fathers and your brothers if they prefer disbelief. To belief, they prefer disbelief over belief. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمًا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. An ayah. And Allah the Most High, he says, the meaning of which is you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will not find any people who believe in Allah in the last day, making friendship with those who oppose Allah and his messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the end of the verse. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ إِلَى آخِرِ السُّورَةِ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. And he said, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, the meaning of which is, O you who believe, do not take my enemies and your enemies, any of the disbelievers and polytheists as friends, any until the end of the surah. And he says, رَحِيمَهُ تَعَالَى, many other verses. And many other verses. What do you say? يُسَبِّحُ رَعْدُ بِحَمْدِ يُسَبِّحُ رَعْدُ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ. Allahu Akbar. So here the author, he mentioned a number of evidences from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to this affair. So the first one, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى أَوْلِيَاءَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. O you who believe, O you who believe in Allah in the last day, O you who believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his sunnah, his laws and legal way, do not take the Jews and the Christians as awliya, and he has friends, protectors, and helpers, any close companions that you, they're on your team, they're on your side, they're on your team, they're on your side, they're close friends. And they're, like they say, they're in your corner. You rely on them and so on and so forth for your daily affairs. And you laugh with them and cry with them and so on and so forth. Don't take them as friends like this. Don't bring them as close friends and protectors and helpers. They're but awliya of each other. And if any amongst you takes them as awliya, then surely he is one of them. So this is a great threat. This is a dangerous affair. Verily, Allah does not guide those people who are wrongdoers, any of the people who are considered oppressors and commit injustice. So this is great injustice. Waliyatu billah, to take the enemies of Allah as friends and allies. To take the enemies of Allah as friends and allies. So this is an affair of aqidah. And this is a book of creed. So this issue is with regards to the heart. And there's two points that we have to understand with regards to this. There's the issue of al-aqidah, and there's the issue of al-mu'amalah. And we'll discuss them, inshallah. But each one, it has its proper understanding. So the creed is in the heart. The creed is where? In the heart. And this is the creed. There must be mu'alat for Allah. This is from the conditions of the shahada. There must be, you love Allah, you love for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You hate for Allah, for the sake of Allah. You have an allegiance for Allah, the sake of Allah. And you have a disallegiance for Allah, and the sake of Allah. This is an issue of the heart. This is the issue of the heart. When the heart is sound, this will be established. This is from the foundation of the religion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Awthaq furul iman, al-hubbu fillah, wal-bughdu fillah." أوثق عور الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله. The strongest bond of al-Iman is to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah. Is to love for the sake of Allah and to hate for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the strongest handhold, the strongest faith. This is the means to complete the religion. Likewise, in the hadith of Abi Umama رضي الله عنه, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أحب لله وأبغض لله وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ وَأَنْكَحَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. The one who loves for the sake of Allah, and he hates for the sake of Allah, and he gives for the sake of Allah, and he withholds for the sake of Allah, and he gives in marriage for the sake of Allah, then he has completed his Iman. Then he has completed his Iman. So the one who has some deficiencies in these affairs, he will have deficiency in his Iman accordingly. So this is a great foundation. This is a great foundation. This is something mustahdaf. This is something that the disbelievers, they have their eyes on. They focus on this issue here, trying to corrupt this in the hearts of the believers to weaken the religion. To weaken the religion, to weaken the issue of al-wala' wal-bara'. To weaken the issue of the wala' and the bara'. And we know, barakallahu fikum, that these affairs are corrupted in a number of ways. Two major ways. And that is bil-ifrati, by going to extremes and transgressing the limits, or by being negligent. So some people, they're negligent with this affair, and they give their love and their allegiance to disbelievers, waliyadu billah, to disbelievers, and they have love for them in a manner that's not allowed. That's not allowed. And other people, they go to extremes and they violate their rights, claiming that they love him for the sake of Allah, like the Khawarij of our day. Like the Khawarij of our day, violating contracts and shedding the blood of innocent individuals and people that have contracts, the mu'ahad. We've seen the dangers of these affairs. We've seen the dangers of these affairs in previous classes. This is whenever this mu'alat and mu'adat is not checked by the reins of the legislation, it becomes an issue of desires and whims and following the footsteps of the devil, waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. So he will try to cause the people to go to extremes and transgress the limits with regards to this, or cause them to be negligent, to be negligent with regards to this. So the straight path is in the middle. خَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَاطُهَا لَا تَفْلِيطُهَا وَلَا إِفْرَاطُهَا. The best of the affairs is always in the middle. Always in the middle, check with the reins of the legislation, not going to extremes, nor being negligent. So this is an affair of the heart. This is an affair of the heart. Do not take the Jews and the Christians as awliya. They're awliya to one another. So you do not love them. You do not have this love for them. Do not have this love for them. So likewise, Allah, he says, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا آبَاءَكُمْ وَإِخْوَانَكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ إِنْ اسْتَحَبُّوا الْكُفْرَ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. O you who believe, do not take for awliya, supporters and helpers, your fathers and your brothers, if they prefer disbelief over belief. And whoever of you does so, then he is indeed from the wrongdoers. So this is a type of zulm here. Again, mentioning for the one who violates this right, this is zulm and oppression. And the people of knowledge, they mention al-zulmu huwa wadu shay fi ghayri mawdi'ihi, to put something in its improper place. This is called oppression. You put something in the wrong place, that's called oppression. It doesn't, where it doesn't belong. That love that you have in your heart does not belong for them. It doesn't belong for them. That love you have in your heart belongs for Allah and for His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for the believers. And for the believers. You understand this? That's justice. That's justice. says Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, likewise, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه ويدخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه أولئك حزب الله أولئك حزب الله ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون. You, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will not find any people who truly believe in Allah in the last day. You will not find any people who truly believe in Allah in the last day making friendship with those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. With those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. Making friendship with those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. From the greatest means of opposing Allah and His Messenger is calling to shirk or claiming that Allah has a son. And the likes like this. This is from the worst of opposing Allah and His Messenger. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ Making shirk and calling on others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or claiming that Allah, He has a son, or that He's the third of three. All of this is from the worst opposition. The worst opposition. Even though you will not find them like this. Even though they were their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their kindred, any of their people and relatives. For these people, Allah has written faith in their hearts and has strengthened them with ruh, with the ruh, and he with proofs, light, and true guidance and knowledge from Allah and insight from Himself. And He will admit them to paradise, gardens under which rivers flow to dwell there and forever. Allah is pleased with them and they with Him. They are the party of Allah, and verily it is the party of Allah that will be successful. So this is a great promise for those who are truthful in their love for Allah and their allegiance for the Shahada. That they will have, that Allah will guide them. That Allah, He will bestow upon them beneficial knowledge and light, and strong and firm faith to prefer what is beloved to Allah over their desires and whims, and over the rest of the creation. They will be granted insight and success to implement that in their life. Because of their love for Allah, and their truthfulness in that love for Allah, and because of their sincerity and their shahada. This is from the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ No, the recompense for good is nothing but good, rather better. Allah will also admit them into paradise in the hereafter, with rivers flowing beneath them, castles, mansions. They'll abide there forever. And on top of all of that, Allah will be pleased with them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the party of Allah. This is the people of Allah. This is the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is their description. At the head of that, their allegiance is for Allah. For Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and nothing violates that, not even the closest of kin. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise, Ya ayyuha ladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu aduwi wa'aduwakum awliya'a tulquna ilayhim bilmawaddati waqad kafaru bima ja'akum min alhaq. يخرجون الرسول وإياكم أن تؤمنوا بالله ربكم إن كنتم خرجتم جهادا في سبيلي وابتغاء مرضاتي تسرون إليهم بالمودة وأنا أعلم بما أخفيتم وما أعلنتم وما يفعله منكم فقد ضل سواء السبيل. Oh, you who believe, do not take my enemies and your enemies, meaning the disbelievers, pagans, as friends, showing affection towards them. Do not do this. Why? And how could you do that? لَا تَتَّخِذُوا عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ تُلْقُونَ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْمَوَدَّةِ وَقَدْ كَفَرُوا بِمَا جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. You're going to give them affection and love and bring them close to you, and they disbelieve in what has reached you from the truth. And if this doesn't make sense, right? You do this and they did that. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, هَا أَنْتُمْ أُولَاءِ تُحِبُّونَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِبُّونَكُمْ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ كُلِّهِ. Here you are, you love them and they don't love you. They don't like you. You believe in the book in the entire. You believe in the whole book. You believe in Noah and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Muhammad. You believe in all of them, and they don't believe in all of them. They disbelieve in that which has come to you from the truth. And you love them, and they don't even love you. They wish that you would go astray. They wish that you would deviate. إن تطيعوا فريقا من الذين أوتوا الكتاب يردوكم بعد إيمانكم كافرين. This is what Allah mentioned in His book. If you obey a group from the people of the book, they'll turn you back into disbelief after you have believed. They'll turn you back into disbelief. They'll cause you to apostate after disbelief. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They'll never be pleased with you, the Jews and the Christians, until you follow their way. Do not be deceived Do not be deceived. So this is what Allah is saying. Oh, you who believe, do not take my enemies and your enemies as friends, protectors, guardians, showing affection towards them while they have disbelief in what has come to you from the truth. They disbelieve in the Tawheed of Allah. They disbelieve in the messengership in the messengership of Muhammad. They disbelieve in the Prophet of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They disbelieve in the Shahada la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on top of that, even here, those who speak in Dirk, they drove the messenger from the home, so on and so forth, to the end of the ayat. It's very clear. This is something that's not allowed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu al-kafirina awliya'a min duni al-mu'minin. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu al-kafirina awliya'a min duni al-mu'minin. Aturiduna an taj'alu lillahi alaykum sultana mubina? Aturiduna an taj'alu lillahi alaykum sultana mubina? Oh, you believe, do not take as protectors, guardians, and helpers, the disbelievers instead of believers. Do you wish to offer Allah a clear proof against your own self? And a clear proof in your own self. It's a clear proof from you in front of Allah that you take the disbelievers as close companions and friends, any meaning against yourself. A proof against yourself. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَتُرِيدُونَ أَنْ تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ سُلْطَانًا مُبِينًا إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَتَّخِذُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَ اللَّهِ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا أَنْ تَتَّقُوا مِنْهُمْ تُقَى وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ. Let not the believers take the disbelievers as awliya instead of the believers. And whoever does that will never be helped by Allah in any way, except if you indeed fear a danger from them. You fear a danger from them. And Allah warns you against himself, and to Allah is the return for judgment and for reckoning. For judgment and for reckoning. So this is with regards to the creed. The creed, it must be established in this manner, that you have your allegiance for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You love what Allah loves and those whom Allah loves. And you hate what Allah hates and those whom Allah hates. You understand that? But this love is checked by the reins of the legislation. It's not left to the desires and to the whims and to what we feel, how we feel or what we like. How we feel or what we like. Rather, it's checked with knowledge and light, with guidance from the Quran and the Sunnah, the understanding of the Sahaba and the best of this Ummah. In this manner, a person who will be steadfast. In this manner, a person, he'll be steadfast. So this is the aqidah, aqidatul wala'i wal bara'. Aqidatu al wala'i wal bara'. The creed. Where's the creed at? In the heart. The creed of having an allegiance and disavow. Yani taking an allegiance and enmity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is something that's required from every Muslim. This is a fundamental of the religion. This is a requirement from every Muslim. You understand this? It's an affair of the heart. Somebody can't say, oh, I'm not able to do it. Nah, it's in the heart, brother. It's an affair of the heart. It's your creed. It's your creed. You do not like disbelief. You don't like paganism. You don't like shirk. You don't like Christianity. You don't like Judaism. You don't like paganism. You don't like polytheism. You don't like these deviant ways. You don't like innovation. You don't like sins. You don't like anything that's contrary to this affair. You don't like anything that's contrary to this affair, regardless of who they are. Regardless of who they are, you don't like it. And you don't like the people who do it. You don't like it and you don't like the people who do it. So this is something that's in your heart. This is something that's in your heart. But as for the mu'amala, then this is another affair. There's a methodology and there's a proper way. So there's the aqidah and then there's the mu'amala. The aqidah is the creed and the mu'amala is the dealings. How you deal with the people. So just because you hate somebody does not mean that you will violate their rights. Just because you do not like somebody doesn't mean that you will harm them or take advantage of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's just and He loves justice. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this is something that's very important. And Allah, He mentioned in His book, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنَ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ المقسطين. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, لا ينهاكم الله. Allah, He does not forbid you. He does not forbid you from being kind and being nice and just to those disbelievers who do not kick you out of your homes or fight you for your religion. Any of those who are not oppressing you and they're not harmful. He doesn't forbid you from being nice to them and kind to them and just with them. Rather, Allah says, إن الله يحب المقسطين. إن الله يحب المقسطين. Allah, He loves those who are just. Allah, He loves those who are kind. Allah, He loves those who do good to the people. So those disbelievers who have covenants with us, or they have contracts with us, or they have pieces of treaties with us, and they're peaceful, and they're not harmful, and they're kind, they're not violent, and the likes like this. It's not allowed for us to be violent with them, or to be harsh with them, or to be rude with them, or to be mean to them, or to violate their rights, or to shed their blood, to take their property and wealth unlawfully, and the likes like this, claiming that we have wallah for Allah. So we're gonna rob them and take their money? That's not allowed. That's not allowed. Or to cheat them and to lie to them and the likes like this, this is not allowed. To take advantage of them in the markets or so on and so forth for a dollar, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. To shed their blood or to put fear in them and the likes like this, and they're living in peace with us, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. This is something that is forbidden. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبرؤهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. And did Allah, He loves those who are just. So this is a great encouragement here to be just. And the skill in all affairs is? Is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The scale in all affairs is in dealings is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, you have in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best role model. So this dealing here is going to go back to the religion. It's going to be checked by the reins of the legislation and according to that which is lawful and permissible, and the legislation looks to the best interest of the people. To the best interest of the people, to the believer specifically. So we take our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the role model in these affairs. How did he deal with the enemies? How did he deal with the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal? How did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam deal with the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal? You know the Muamala of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the kuffar? He used to buy and trade with them. He used to buy and sell with them and do business. So he will buy from them, and they'll buy from him like they're doing business. They do business with the disbelievers. The Prophet and the companion, they do business. He will sell him this one, he will sell him that one. And they'll do trade and the likes like this. This one has something he needs, he will pay for it and buy it from him. Or he has something he needs and he will purchase it from him and the likes like this. This is something that was known. كان يبايع الكفار صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he would buy from them and they would buy from him. صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is something that is known. Likewise, الزيارة. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to visit the disbelievers. There's narrations clarifying this. He would visit them. Disbelievers, the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal. The enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal. But they lived with him in Medina sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they are under contract and covenant with the believers. So he would give them rights. He would even visit them sometimes, some of them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would eat with them and eat their food. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would eat the food of the disbelievers, the food of the Jews. The believers are disbelievers. Enemies of Allah, awliya of Allah. The enemies of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eat their food. Rather, he would also accept gifts from them. Rather, he would also accept, they would give him gifts, and he would accept them. He would accept them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of these affairs, they're found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even he would not only bargain and trade with them, but he would take debts with them and from them. You understand that? Rather, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, his dirr was marghuna in the Yahudi. His dirr, you know what a dirr is? It's a armor. It's a type of armor for war. Yani, it's a weapon of war. It's considered from the weapons of war. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had his weapon of war, this military armor, and he had it in pawn with a Jewish person for some food. Right? This, whenever the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam died, some of his weapons of war were in the hands of a Jewish man because he needed some food from him. You understand? So he got some food, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some grains and the likes like this from the Jewish man. He didn't have money. He left his weapons of war, some of his weapons of war, with this Jewish man to hold for him until he can pay him for the price of the grains. All that. So where are the people at today? We don't have to say anything, right? You can see the vast difference between the Ikhwan Muslimun and the people upon their way, and the claims that they make, especially for the scholars of the Sunnah, and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever he died, the weapons of war were in the hands of the Jews for some food. He's still doing business with them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is his mu'amala. This is the muamalah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is how you deal with him. This is how you deal with him. So you don't love them, you don't like them, you don't bring them close, but that doesn't stop you from dealing with them, from bargaining with them, from trading with them, from having business with them, from making a dollar with them, and the likes like this. This is from the worldly affairs. All of this is lawful, all of this is allowed. From visiting them, from accepting a gift from them, or giving a gift to them, giving them some food, or inviting them for dinner, and the likes like this, with the intention of calling them to Allah, or clarifying for them the good manners of a believer. If you have relatives, for example, you invite them for dinner. If you have a neighbor who is nice and he's got manners, you can invite him, give him some food, and talk to him, and be nice to him. Maybe he's going to ask you about Islam before you have to say anything, and you can tell him. And in any case, they learn that Muslims are not what they portray on the media. So they learn good things about the Muslims from the mu'amala of the Muslims. All the while you're nice to them, you're kind to them, you're courteous to them, but you do not have love for them. Well, this is very easy. Alhamdulillah. When it's done properly for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, check with the reins of the legislation, it's considered mudarat. Al-mudarat. Al-mudarat is legislated, and it's a good way, and it's from the noble manners of a believer, that he will be kind, and he'll be courteous to the people, and he'll give them the rights, so on and so forth, that Allah has placed for them. And or if they are harmful, he'll be kind to them in order to avoid their harm. But he will never compromise the religion. He'll never compromise the religion. So in being kind or courteous to disbelievers or deviant people and the likes like this, when it's considered mudarat, this is praiseworthy and from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what is blameworthy is whenever it's not mudarat, it's not being courteous in order to protect the religion, to preserve the deen or one's honor and the likes like this, but rather in compromise of the religion. In compromise of the religion, now this is whenever there's an issue. This is not mudarat, this is called mudahana. This is called mudahana. So al mudarat is whenever you back down from some of the worldly affairs to preserve and maintain the religion or the worldly life. And al mudahana is whenever you back down from the deen to get something from the worldly life. Waliyadu billah. So al-mudarat is good. And this is what's required here in dealing with the situation that we're discussing. And having this allegiance. So we live around disbelievers. So that doesn't mean that we'll violate their rights. Again, this is not allowed. And a perfect example of this is what has been mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. He mentioned Bab al-mudarat ma'anas. وَيُذْكَرُ عَنْ أَبِي الدَّرْدَاءِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِنَّا لَنَكْشِرُ فِي وُجُوهِ أَقْوَامٍ وَإِنَّ قُلُوبَنَا لَتَلْعَنُهُمْ Al-Bukhari, he mentioned in the chapter, Al-Mudarat, Ma'anas, and having courtesy, kindness with the people, and being nice like in this manner, dealing with the people, even if maybe you don't like them. And it's mentioned from Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, that he says, إِنَّا لَنَكْشِرُ فِي وُجُوهِ أَقْوَامٍ Indeed, we smile in the faces of people, of some people. We smile in the faces of some people. وَإِنَّ قُلُوبَنَا لَتَلْعَنُهُمْ And our hearts are cursing them. Our hearts are cursing, and we don't like them. We don't like them, but we'll give them their rights. They're our neighbors, for example. They're our neighbors, or they're our colleagues, and they're upon falsehood or deviation, or they're Jews or Christians, or they're liars, or fornicators, or open sinners, and the likes like this. But for one reason or another, we're not able to show that hatred for them, because it's not legislated in this circumstance, either because they have rights over us, or because it will bring a worse harm. Or either because they have rights over us, or it will bring a worse harm. So, for example, the parents. The parents, even if they're disbelievers, it's not allowed to violate their rights. They have great rights with Allah Azza wa Jal. They have great rights with Allah Azza wa Jal. So you must listen to them and obey them and be kind to them in that which is lawful. And if they ever order you to do something that's unlawful, you will disobey them with courtesy and kindness. You'll disobey them with courtesy and kindness. You'll make mudarat. Or even whenever you're around them, you have to make mudarat with them. You have to be kind to them. You have to be courteous to them, even if you don't like them or what they're upon. But they're your family. They have rights from you. Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا And if your parents, they fight against you, they strive against you to make you make shirk, to associate partners with me, which you have no knowledge of, then don't obey them in that, but accompany them in this life in a good way. So they have rights. You have to accompany them in a good way. That doesn't mean, but you don't like them. If they call it shirk or they call it deviation, you don't follow them in that. You don't obey them in that. And rather you disobey them. But when you disobey them, you do it with courtesy and kindness because they have rights on you. Because they have rights on you. Likewise, the neighbors, they have rights on us. Likewise, the co-workers, they have rights on us. And the likes like this. So we'll give them our rights, but we don't bring them close. We'll give them their rights, but we don't bring them close. We don't take them as allies. We don't take them as allies and friends and close companions and guardians and protectors. We're contacting them and calling them and the likes like this. But we see them, we'll give them their right and the likes like this and so on and so forth. And then you keep moving. And you keep moving. And your allegiance is with Allah and the messenger and the believers and the people that you have, your close relationship that you love for the sake of Allah. They're Muslims. And they're good Muslims, people upon the proper creed and methodology, and they strive. That's what you see from them. So you love them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the case. Those are your awliya. Those are your companions. Those are your friends. So the colleagues and the classmates and the co-workers and the people who work in the markets and the people in the streets, you give them that right. You don't harm them and they don't harm you. You don't harm them, they don't harm you. You're kind to them, you're nice to them. You display Islam outwardly for them to see how a Muslim acts. Maybe they'll accept Islam, or at least they think good about Muslims. Alhamdulillah. But you will not violate their rights. You will not transgress the limits. You will not take their wealth unlawfully. You will not harm them in their property or in their or in their blood or in their body. This is not allowed. This is not allowed. This is not what it means to have love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah. Doing these affairs right here, this is from following desires. This is from following whims. This is from following the footsteps of the devil. So no doubt you have love and hatred for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, but again, it's checked with the reins of the legislation. It's according to the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And here we see the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to do business, buying and trading and bartering and the likes with the disbelievers, with the enemies of Allah, and even visiting them sometimes, so on and so forth, and eating with them and accepting their gifts. All of this is from the way of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And no one would ever say any of this is a violation of those. He's the one who's clarifying how to implement this affair. He's the one who's clarifying Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam how to implement this affair. So the people, they have rights in this life. And from the perfection of the Iman is that a person who will give those people their rights for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla accordingly. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla accordingly. As for the creed in the heart, then it's for the sake of Allah. As for the creed in the heart, then it's for the sake of Allah. So when it's strong, you have relatives or family members or neighbors or colleagues or classmates that are disbelievers. That creed, when it's firm, it will never allow you to get close to them. It will never allow you. You will give them their rights. You will give them their rights. You will be courteous and kind to them, so on and so forth. But it will never allow you to be close to them because you don't like what they're upon. Because the disbelievers, they talk about disbelief. The disbelievers, they talk about disbelief, things that's involving disbelief. They're overwhelmed in the worldly life. They don't know anything about the hereafter. They're only talking about the dunya. They're only talking about money. They're only talking about women. They're only talking about cars. They're only talking about vehicles. They're only talking about sports. They're only talking about news. They're only talking about politics. They're only talking about dunya, dunya, dunya. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِرُونَ. But you're a mu'min. You're a believer. You're not heedless of the hereafter. So you can't be around those people all the time. They're going to cause you to be heedless. You don't like that. So you can't be around them people. You don't get along. You have nothing in common. They're disbelievers. You're a believer. Huh? They're disbelievers and you're a believer. You believe in the book, all of it, and they disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can't be close. We can't kick it. You understand that part? You just can't get it. Your iman will not let that happen. But if you fall weak in your faith, then it will start to happen. And that's what they're trying to do and influence in these days. So again, we have this allegiance, but it's checked with the reins of the legislation. It's not following desires. It's not following whims. And it will not lead us to terrorize or be terrorists and likes like this or criminals in society. Whether you will be upright, you will be just, and you will do what you do for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Hada wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.